Our first speaker is Dr. Chris Zimmerman, the Medical Director for the Bureau of Immunization in the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
So, good afternoon. I'm going to speak about mumps vaccine effectiveness during an outbreak in New York City. And first, I want to say that this is work that really was predominantly done by Kara Livingston, our CSD fellow, who couldn't be here to give this talk. Briefly, as this crowd should well know what mumps is, it's a viral illness that usually presents with peritonitis. Rare complications can include orchitis, encephalitis, aseptic meningitis, or hearing loss. And up to 30% of infections may be asymptomatic. The incubation period for mumps ranges from 12 days to 25 days, and it's preventable through vaccination, or maybe not. The vaccine was introduced in 1967, and mumps cases have declined in the U.S. more than 99% since the introduction of the vaccine. And currently, we use measles, mumps, rubella combined vaccine. In New York City, the recommended schedule is a first dose at 12 months of age and a second dose at 4 to 6 years. But outbreaks of mumps still occur in vaccinated population, and the largest was back in 2006 in the Midwest with approximately 6,000 cases. In terms of mumps vaccine effectiveness, the initial clinical trials looked at mumps vaccine efficacy, and it was 95% for the monovalent vaccine. Effectiveness has been calculated in a variety of settings and in age groups. And back in the one-dose mumps era, one-dose mumps VE estimates range from 75 to 91% for point estimates. And more recently, one-dose mumps VE estimates have ranged from 64% to 88%, and two-dose estimates from 83 to 92%. New York City experienced an outbreak of mumps in 2009 and 2010 among a vaccinated population. This outbreak afforded an opportunity to assess risk factors for mumps in households and to assess mumps vaccine effectiveness. So this is the epidemic curve of our outbreak. It began in the summer of 2009 and really was over by the end of the summer of 2010 and peaked with over 100 cases per week confirmed in around December of 2009. In terms of our study methods, cases were identified via routine surveillance reported by either providers or by laboratories. And we did standard case surveillance case investigations. But for cases in the first half of the outbreak, from September 1st, 2009 until December 31st, we did expanded household investigations where we attained documented vaccination statuses on all household contacts. And then that spring, between March and April of 2010, we did follow-up calls to collect information on illness status of other household members, whether people were resident in that household for 5 days or more, and the number of bedrooms in the household. We used both the standard surveillance case definition, which I won't read, but what's basic standard CSD clinical case definition. But for our follow-up calls, we used the clinically compatible illness definition, in which we would talk to an adult in a household who would be the interviewee, and they would report for all members of the household whether people had been sick since September of 2009 with doctor-diagnosed mumps or had cheek swelling lasting 2 or more days. We defined index cases as the first case identified in a household as part of routine surveillance with the earliest onset of symptoms. And co-primary cases were mumps cases with onset within 9 days of the index case. Secondary cases in the household were cases that occurred 9 or more days after the onset of the index case's illness. And during the initial investigation, we excluded households where the index case lived alone or lived in a dormitory, did not speak English, was unreachable, or was unwilling or unable to provide information about household contacts. And that was where we lost the greatest number of households to follow up on. On follow-up calls, we excluded people, households, if they were unreachable or refused to provide the requested information. After follow-up, we excluded if during that interview we were told that the index case did not sleep in the home. We did univariate and multivariate analysis to examine risk factors for mumps, including what was available to us, age, time since the last MMR dose, and household density. And we looked at mumps VE using standard methods, and for our VE estimates, we excluded children who were less than 5 years of age. And the reason that we did this is we knew data from the pre-vaccine era showed that young children seemed to not present with clinical disease and also would be less likely to be vaccinated, certainly with two doses, and might be if they were under a year not even vaccinated. So we had 311 households included in the study with a median of 7 people per household and 4 bedrooms per household. Attack rates range from 7 to 100% per household. There were 2,176 individuals in these 311 households, and their median age was 13, ranging from 0 years to 85 years. 462 of them met our definition for mumps, either the surveillance case definition or our follow-up case definition, for an overall attack rate of 21%. Half of the non-index cases had been already reported to us by surveillance. So by that, when we were doing the follow-up calls and checking about who else was sick in the household, half of those cases that we identified had already come to us, either when we did the initial case investigation or subsequently before the follow-up call. So looking at the vaccination status of household members and looking at by age group, in the 0 to 3-year-old age group on, well, I guess it's on this side, the youngest age group, as you can see, 60% of those had received one dose. Looking at the 4 years to 18-year-old age group, 74% had received two doses and 89% had received one or more doses of MMR vaccine. Unfortunately, among the adults or the 19-plus age group, the overwhelming majority did not have immunization records, and we classified those as having unknown vaccination status. Looking at risk factors for disease, we looked at age, and we can see that the highest attack rates were among those 10 to 14 years of 14 years of age, and that was significantly higher. There was a threefold higher risk of mumps in that age group compared to the 0 to 4-year-old age group. The 15 to 19-year-olds also had a significantly higher attack rate compared to the youngest age group. And looking at time from last MMR, we categorized it into less than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, or more than 10 years from their last MMR dose. And attack rates were highest in the 5 to 10-year group, but it wasn't a significantly higher risk. And there wasn't any upward trend in that the greater than 10 group was basically the same as the less than 5 years. And looking at household density, we also did not see differences in attack rates in those living in households where there were two or less people per bedroom versus more than two people per bedroom. in a multivariate analysis including age, time since last MMR, and household density, again, only age came up as associated with disease. In terms of our mumps VE estimates, our one-dose mumps VE estimate came out at 82.8% with a confidence intervals ranging from 51.8 to 93.8. And our two-dose mumps VE estimate was 79.4, ranging from 57.4 to 90.1. So in summary, age was associated with mumps. There was a higher likelihood of mumps among adolescents. We did not find associations between time from vaccination and mumps or household density, as defined as people per bedroom. Our two-dose mumps VE among household contacts for those more 5 years and older was 79.4, ranging from 57.4 to 90.1. Now, there were a number of limitations. Our mumps VE estimate was only looking at clinical disease. 44% of our secondary cases were determined by follow-up report only. So those were those cases reported by the interviewee as being clinically compatible. So there may have been misclassification of cases at that point. There may not have been equal exposure to disease for all household members. While we know that there were index cases in these households and secondary cases, perhaps the way the social structure or how long people may have been in school may have affected the likelihood that everyone had equal risk of exposure in the household. And then many adults lacked MMR records, and so we really couldn't include them in this analysis. And I think we lost power from that. In conclusion, we found MMR vaccine to be effective at preventing mumps. Our estimates fell within the range found in other recent studies, although perhaps on the lower end, but our confidence intervals are wide. Higher MMR coverage may have helped prevent this outbreak. Certainly, when we look at the age group and two-dose coverage, about 76% of the 4 to 18-year-old age group had two doses, and perhaps higher coverage may have helped. Finally, a better understanding of factors leading to outbreaks and outbreak control measures among vaccinated individuals is needed, and I hope that the subsequent speakers may be able to enlighten us on some of those things. I want to thank all the collaborators, particularly Kara Livingston, who did a lot of this work, but everyone in New York City Health Department and CDC who helped us out.